Well, we come to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. The last time we weren't together, I did the sermon online and sent it out. If anybody wants to hear it, you can still go to the website and hear Luke chapter 4. As it speaks about Jesus and all the authority that he has, the fullness of his authority, his wonderful authority over life and his authority over death, his authority in the Word of God as he speaks, his authority over sickness, his authority over timetables, everything is in the hands of the Lord. Someone has said in a song, I think it's called Abide With Me, I don't know if that's the name of it, but it says, he who calmed the wind and waves still reigns here below. It's authority over storms. And then we come to Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and we saw that Jesus had his passion and his desire was to share the word, the truth. Above everything else, it was to share the truth. And he went about, and he went in all the synagogues, and he was teaching people and preaching to people. And I think the synagogues got too small. Those were kind of like the buildings that they met in those days. Because here we find him as a great multitude was gathered around him in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. They pressed about him to hear the word of God, and that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. It had different names because different conquerors came along. The Romans called it one thing. The Israelites called it another. It's the same lake. It's still there today. And that lake is no longer than Lake Ainslie. And for a little lake in such a, you know, it's not a very big lake, really, to be known all over the world so much, the Sea of Galilee. But it's not a big lake. It's maybe 7 miles wide. So it's about 12 miles long, but it's wider than Lake Ainslie, probably twice the width of Lake Ainslie, but only about the same length. And that is the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Gennesaret. And as Jesus was down on the shore teaching all of these people, I can imagine the crowd pressing to hear him. And him maybe stepping back a little bit, but suddenly where is he? He's got no place to go. And so what he does, he says he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. They were washing their nets because they had just finished fishing. Now, I like fishing, but their kind of fishing is a little different. On the Sea of Galilee is a very clear lake, and the bottom is not a deep lake either. So when they went fishing, they cast nets into the sea. The kind of fish that were in the lake were fish that would school together. They would come in great schools. And when they were schooled together, you had a chance to throw the net over them and to pull a net full of fish in. But if you tried to do that in the daytime, in the sunlight, what do you think might happen? The fish would be scared of the net and they'd be gone. They'd take off. So the time to go fishing that they went fishing was at night. They went fishing at night. And they knew the spots where the fish were, roughly. And they also could tell, sometimes these fish, as they would school, they would ripple the water. So they would listen very carefully at night for where the water was rippling. They would head over with their boat and then quickly throw out their net and then pull it in and try to get a catch of fish.
Same thing with the herring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's what they did. They saw two boats standing by the lake, and they had gone fishing, and they were now washing their nets. They were cleaning their nets out after a night of fishing. So Jesus got into one of the boats, Luke 5:3, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. That was Peter. And Simon, who Jesus had changed his name to Peter, he was a fisherman, along with James and with John. And as they were had been cleaning their nets, obviously, he was listening to Jesus. He was cleaning his nets. Jesus pointed out to him, and he said, take me out. And so he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, the message I've titled today is this, launch out into the deep. I want you to launch out into the deep. I want you to think about this, that little phrase, for your life today. I want you to launch out into the deep, because actually, after he taught the multitudes, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, what I want you to think about this is for your own life, I want you to launch out into the deep. How do I mean that? I want you to launch out deeper with Jesus Christ. I want you to be ready to go further with the Lord Jesus. If he hadn't touched your life at all, you wouldn't be here. But God touches our lives. But he doesn't just touch our lives. He's not just interested in a fleeting moment in your life. He's interested in taking you deeper in a relationship with him. How deep do you want to go? Do you want a superfluous relationship with God? Or do you want a real relationship with God? Do you want a deep relationship with God? Or do you want a shallow relationship with God? Let me challenge you to go deeper. Now I want to look at Peter for a moment, Simon. And we see here, this was not the first time that Peter came across Jesus. We go back quite a bit longer before this. And in John chapter 1, verse 40, we find that one of the two who heard John speaking, that was John the Baptist was speaking, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. John 1, 40. And John 1, 41, it says, he first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah, but you shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. That's what the word Peter means, a stone. And so Jesus changed his name when he first met him. He changed his name because he was going to change Peter. He was going to transform Peter into a rock in the church of God. Not the big rock, not the Petra rock. In the Gospel of Matthew, it talks about Jesus saying, on this rock I will build my church, which was the confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But Peter was a stone. In the church of God. That's what Jesus uses this picture, that we're all like stones who are in a building. The real church, as we were telling this to the kids last week, the real church is not buildings. Oh, there's the church. That's not the church. The real church is the people. That's what makes a church. Not buildings. But what actually happens when church is on is that the church goes to the building. You got that? The church goes to the building. And Peter later on teaches about this, and he says we're all living stones in the real church, the spiritual church. But Jesus changed his name, and to change somebody's name, you have to have authority over them. Jesus was asserting his authority in saying this. And Peter began to follow Jesus, and he was with Jesus, traveling about. But he still had to make a living, so often he went back to the Sea of Galilee, and he went fishing, as we can see here. So he had a certain kind of relationship with Jesus, but the Lord was calling him to something deeper. The Lord was calling him further in. And let me challenge you today, whatever relationship you have now, God wants to take you deeper. The question is this, how deep do you want to go? How deep do you want to go with Jesus Christ? Do you want to experience him in your life? Just going to make sure that's working here. Yeah. You want to experience him in your life in a deeper and a greater way. Peter had experienced Jesus up till now in a certain way. But now Jesus says, Peter, I want something different. He had a different plan coming. He had something new coming. So let's go deeper with Jesus. Let's see what happens as he tells him to do this. He said to Simon, Luke 5:4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now here's Peter's answer. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. We fished all night. We never got a fish. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So, Jesus was asking him to do something way out of his zone. Peter was a fisherman. He knew the waters. He knew the fish. He knew where they were. He knew how to catch them. And here's Jesus in the middle of the day telling him, launch out, take your boat, go on out deeper, and put your net down for a catch. Peter says, listen, Lord, we fished all night. We never got anything. Do you think we're going to catch anything in the daytime when it's impossible to catch fish? That's really what he was saying to him. So the Lord Jesus was telling Peter to do something. And Peter was faced with, what'll I do with this? It doesn't make any sense. I'm a fisherman, I know better. Or so he thought. But what does he say? Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Peter takes a step deeper, a step of faith. This was a step of obedience and a step of faith. to go out and to launch out where it didn't make any sense. Probably the other fishermen, and there would have been a lot of them on that shore, because that's how they made their living around the Sea of Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee, were watching this. Where are they going? Where's he heading to? And maybe they didn't get that far offshore that they could see what was going on. Don't tell me. They're going to go and try and catch fish in the middle of the day. You can imagine. And Peter, you know how it is with fishermen. They can be kind of a proud bunch, right? Actually, we all can, can't we, right? You know, who wants to watch you making a fool of yourself, right? But Peter didn't care at that point. He was willing to obey God. He was willing to take a step of faith and launch out into the deep, just like Jesus said. And so I believe spiritually he was launching out into a deeper place with God. If you don't obey the Lord, if you're not willing to come to him on his terms and do what he asks you to do, even if sometimes it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, then you're going to miss out on the blessing. You can stay on the shore. You can stay where you are. But what will you miss? What experience will you miss with God if you just stay in one place and not launch out? You know, some of us need to launch out just into salvation. You need to be saved. If you're not, you're not. If you are, you are. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Accept him into your heart. Trust him as your Savior. Don't trust in that you went to church or that you say a few prayers or that you're a good person. Don't trust in any of those things. The Bible makes it clear. We need to believe, put our whole trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But God wants to take us deeper than that. He wants to grow us. He wants to grow us in faith. And he wants to grow us in obedience. So Peter was willing to listen to the Lord and to take that step of faith. And what does he do? He said, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. You know what this tells me? They weren't that far from shore. Jesus didn't ask them to go out in the middle of the lake. He just told them to go a little bit deeper. Because remember, their other boats were on the shore and they were mending their nets. And all the crowd was still there. And they could see. And so they signaled as they began to pull in the fish. Whoa, this is a big catch. This is a big catch. This is more of a catch than we can handle. And so what does it do? They signaled to their partners in the other boat, come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so they began to sink. Wow. No shortage of catch. No shortage of supply. When they launched out and trusted God. God is able to do the miraculous, friends. But sometimes we don't see the miracles because we don't step out. We don't take the steps of faith to trust God in doing what he calls us to do. It's a funny thing. You know, I often find in sharing or talking with people, they set their boundaries about, you know, what they want for God. They want some of God. A little bit of God is a good thing, but not too much. Why? Because I don't want God to run my life. I want to run my own life. I'll take God when I need him. You know what that really says? I want God to serve me. I don't want to serve God. And oh, what you miss. Oh, what we can miss in a life like that, instead of seeing the miraculous, instead of experiencing the joy of the Lord. If you'll go deeper with God, then you will see greater revelation of God. You will understand him in a greater way. You'll begin to understand the walk that you can have with him. You'll understand the joy of the Lord that is your strength. You'll understand the power of God to set you free from sin. You'll understand what it is to be filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness in increasing measure. I want more of that. I want to go deeper with God. I don't want to hold back. I don't want to stay on the shore. I don't want to even just go. I just want to be exactly where Jesus wants me to be. And so that's what he told him. When they had done this. And so as they called the others to come, They filled both boats. They began to sink. And now there's a reaction. There's a reaction from Peter. He says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet. He said, depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why did he say that? What happens? Why would Peter say, Lord, leave me. Leave me. What was that expression about? Huh? Right. So he was humbled, right? You go deeper with God, you get humbled. You realize, oh, I'm not quite as good as I thought I was. It's a pretty devastating thing to see yourself as you really are. We paint pictures of our own lives, and we leave a lot of stuff out. We look pretty good. But when we've seen in the presence of God, we're blown away. And that's what Peter was, just blown away. Suddenly he realized, this is God. This is the mighty creator of the universe in front of me. Oh God, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. A centurion said that one time. He said, I'm not worthy to be under your, for you to be under my roof. There was a humility there. Because he felt like he wasn't worthy to be in the presence of God. That's why he said this. It wasn't that he didn't want God. It was that he didn't feel he was worthy of God. You can see that's what he says, because I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, Peter was a married man. He was a fisherman. He wasn't he wasn't out there murdering people. He wasn't a bad living person. He was a good living person. But listen, good living persons need Jesus too. And good living persons need to realize they're sinners too. Real sinners in the sight of a holy God. That's what happened to him. He realized it. And he was just completely blown away. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. This was not normal. This was supernatural. This was God at work. And he knew now who God was. Jesus was taking Peter deeper. Deeper in his relationship with him. Deeper in his faith. And deeper in his humility, and deeper in his dependence upon God. Deeper in his awareness. He was suddenly aware of how holy God was and how unholy he was. There was another man that was in that same situation in the book of Isaiah, a prophet in the Old Testament. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah suddenly had a vision of the Lord. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. I didn't know if you knew this, but typically you see pictures of angels and they got two wings, right? Some of the angels have, they're pretty weird creatures, descriptions in the Bible. It says each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Wow, this is a different creature. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Suddenly, Isaiah is instantly transported into a heavenly place and he sees the Lord. And it says the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the host was filled with smoke. So I said, here's Isaiah's reaction. As Isaiah sees the Lord, he's blown away. Look, this is a prophet. This is a man who walked with God. But God was taking him deeper. It says, woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He says, I'm undone. I'm unclean. When he saw the glory of God, he saw what his need was. And it was a real need. He said, I'm unclean. So when we consider Isaiah, who was a holy man of God, a prophet of God, but when he goes deeper with God, he realizes, oh, look, I'm not worthy. I am not worthy. But then it says, one of the seraphims, which is one of the angels, flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your sin or your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Isaiah found out he was unworthy in the presence of God. But the Lord cleansed him. The Lord cleansed him. It's a good thing
to let the Lord see, expose your life for what it is. It's a good thing to see things as they really are. It's not a bad thing. It would be a bad thing if there was no hope or help afterwards. Then it would be despair, because I don't want to be, you know, convicted of my sin and be miserable about it and have no relief from it. But God wants us to see what we're really like so that we can come to Him and find all the relief, the full cleansing that He gives. And so the Lord reveals Himself to us so that we might go deeper with Him. Sin makes a barrier between us and God. But God has made a way for that sin to be taken away through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. That was way back in the Old Testament, 600 years earlier with Isaiah. But here's Peter. Peter, who realizes that he's a sinner. And he's so overwhelmed that he doesn't think that God wants anything to do with him. Listen, if God shows you that you're a sinner, He doesn't do it to say, I don't want anything to do with you. He does it to say, I want to use you. I want to bless you. I want to cleanse you. I want to forgive you. I want to give you new beginnings. And so, as they were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all, and they followed Him. Something happened. This incident was transforming for these men. James and John and Peter were already following Jesus. They already knew all about Him. They'd heard Him. They walked on the shores with Him. But now, from this time on, they left everything and followed Him. That's quite a thing. In another part where this story is told in another gospel, it says immediately they left everything and they followed Him. Now, that doesn't mean there weren't family members to look after stuff. I'm sure there was. But suddenly they saw, oh, this is more important. To follow Jesus is more important than anything else. Do you believe that? Do you live that? Is it your passion? Is He the center of your experience? Do you want Him more than anything else? Listen, here's what it says in the Word of God. Look at this passage, Luke 14:33. These are the words of Jesus Christ. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus says, you've got to give up everything to follow me. Huh? I thought we just take Jesus, come along. I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to take Jesus into my life. I'm going to live my own life, do my own thing, and Jesus is going to come alongside with me. I thought that's what it was. No, it's not what it is. He says, unless whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus is asking you to surrender your whole life to Him. Everything you are, everything you own. Not to me. Don't misunderstand me here. Not to a church, but to Him. That means I give Him the control of my finances. I give Him the control of my time. I give Him the control of my family. I give Him the control of my heart. I give Him the control of my whole life. That's what Peter did. That's what James and John did. They left everything to follow Him. Now that doesn't mean, okay, I want you to follow Jesus today. You have to leave your work. You have to leave your, you know, leave your bank account. For some, it might mean that. Sometimes God will tell you to give it all away. At one point, He told a rich guy who came to see Him, and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, I've kept all the commandments. Basically, that's what he was saying. I've kept all the commandments. And Jesus said, there's something lacking. You go sell all that you have and give it away to the poor, and then come and follow me. The reason why He challenged that man to do that, because that man was trusting in his riches. And the Bible says that man went away sorrowful because he had many riches. And Jesus said how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But with God, all things are possible. So the challenge is that God wants to take us deeper. But in order for us to go deeper with God, it means we give up our independence. It means we surrender our ways. It means we take up the Word of God. We say, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. It means I'm going to follow Him when it's not easy. It means He has the control over every part of my life. Whatever God doesn't have the control of, you do, and that's where you'll mess up. That's where you'll mess up. That's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to take over, not to be a cruel despot, but what He wants to do is show you new ways to live. He wants to show you how He can take you to places where things can happen. Like Peter here. Instead of fishing at night, suddenly he's out in the daytime and he's launching out his nets on the other side of the boat, and suddenly there's the fish. All kinds of it. Great, new, and wonderful experiences with God are yours if you are willing to go deeper with Him. Someone has said you can have as much of God as you want. The question is, how much do you want? How much do you want? Do you want all of Him? Do you want Him to have all of you? I can tell you this, it's the only way to go. And it doesn't stop. God's been calling me deeper. He's been doing that since 1978. And He's still calling me deeper. And lots of days I'm challenged. Because sometimes I run on my own steam and I think I'm going to do my own thing, and I'm busy and I haven't got time for prayer and I haven't got time to check out what God says in the Bible because I'm busy and I'm on the run. And I find myself very quickly emptied. I have nothing to give to you unless I get it from God. So the Lord has to take me deeper. And over again, He challenges us and brings us to these places. There's something that you'll find in the Bible. He often has challenged people to do things that they could never do. When they were up on a mountainside, Jesus says to the disciples, there's 5,000 people plus the men, plus women and children. He says, feed them. He says, how can we feed them? We've got a few loaves and fish here. What are they among so many? So many. What does He do? He takes that food. He blesses it. Jesus may call you to do things that seem impossible. To love your neighbor. To be forgiving. Not to be a gossip. Not to slander. Not to curse. Things that you can't do yourself. He may be calling you, and He is calling you, to live a holy life in the midst of an ungodly world. That's not easy. That's impossible. But if I'm willing to surrender to Him, go deeper with Him, He will give me what I need. And He will cause that to happen. The multitudes were fed, and there were 12 baskets left over. A basket each for the disciples at the end of it all. Because they surrendered to Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you today with all my heart? Can I encourage you to go deeper with God? He's saying to you today, launch out into the deep. Surrender to Jesus Christ. Whatever He says, do it. Give Him your heart. Give Him your soul. How's that going to work out in your life? I don't know. I'm not God. But I can tell you this. If you're willing to start your day and say, Lord, this is your day. You take over. Guide my footsteps. Show me what to do. Keep me just in touch with You praying throughout the day. Whether you're at work, whether you're at play, whatever you're doing, you'll begin to discover the presence of God and the miracles of God in your life. It doesn't mean you're going to get more money all the time, okay? It doesn't mean that. It means He's going to bless you. Look, they got all that fish, but what did they do with the fish? What did they do with it? This was the biggest catch they ever got in their lives. They left it all, that's right. You know, here was the biggest catch you ever got. Listen, when fishermen get a nice catch, they want to show it off, right? They want to revel in it. And of course, you want to take the money to the bank when you're done with it too. But something had happened here, something far deeper and far richer than just getting that fish and the finances that came with it. They just said, we're following You. They left everything and they followed Jesus because they saw that Jesus was more valuable than even the fish that He had just given to them. Oh, let me encourage you. Go deeper with God. Go deeper in that relationship, as we see Jesus taking Peter deeper. Go deeper in obedience. Go deeper in faith. And you will find yourself going deeper in a walk with God and seeing the miraculous hand of God at work. We're going to come back to this passage again next week. And next week we're going to talk about what He meant when He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. But here's the challenge. Jesus said, follow me. And he says that to each one of us. Follow him. Don't follow far behind, but follow him completely and watch and see what the Lord will do. Give him your all. Give him your heart. And you might have to do that 10 times a day. I find oftentimes I get into crises and situations and I lose my way. I got to get back to God. I got to get back on my knees. Say, okay, God, you got to take over here again. Take over, Lord. Take over. Launch out into the deep. May God give us the grace and the simple step of faith and obedience to do that, and then watch God work in a wonderful way. Well, let's finish with a song today. It's called
You Have Longed for Sweet Peace, for faith to increase, and have earnestly fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all of the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul he does fully control and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you give him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul.
Dear Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you care for us. Thank you, Lord, that you're a benevolent God. Thank you, Lord, that you want to bless us. You don't want to hinder us. You want to grow us. You want us to experience all that we could experience, Lord. You made us, and you know what will free us the most. Lord, so many people think that you will cramp our style, that somehow, Lord, we will lose if we follow you. And yet, Lord, you have promised that if we trust you and surrender everything to you, we will gain 100 times more in this life and eternal life to boot. Open our eyes, Lord. Give us the grace to launch out deeper, we pray, even today. Give us the grace, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we just ask you to bless our food and fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. Amen.
Is your mom? Mom mentioned we might start practicing for tribal trails again, she said.
Yeah.
When are we going
to
do that?
I got to talk to the technicians and stuff.